National Geographic Explorer Emeritus Dr. Johann Reinhard is an archaeologist who has done extensive research into Incan culture and society. Recently, he was part of a team that researched the site and remains of sacrificed children mummified in the high altitudes of the Andes. It was part of a sacred ritual in Incan society. The children were selected to travel throughout the Incan Empire and then ascend into the mountains to be united with the gods. New research of the mummies found one of Reinhard's recent expeditions shows the 6 and 7-year-olds were plied with drugs, including cocaine and a popular spiritual substance called ayahuasca. It may be the earliest evidence that the substance was used as an antidepressant for the likely anxious children. I spoke with Reinhard more about it.
Well, the Incas were known as being worshippers of the sun, but it tended to cloud a bit that the Incas were conquering people that, for the most part, were considering the landscape features as being the most important deities. In other words, particularly the mountains, lakes, rivers, and so on. But the mountains were dominant, and traditional local people still today in the Andes are worshiping the mountains. So it's something that's quite widespread. So it's no surprise that when the Incas conquered these particular groups, as they expanded their empire, expanded very quickly, in fact, as they did that, they had to then kind of incorporate the local deities into their own worship.
So explain the role of these children in this ritual and how they were selected. It sounds like it was an honor.
Yes, the Incas considered it an honor, and the local people did as well. I want to stress that the evidence that we have is that the local people felt that they were being honored, and in some cases even would offer their children, because it was such a great honor. The children would go to Cusco, the capital of the Inca Empire. The emperor himself is the only one who could authorize their sacrifice. And the sacrifice, we use the term, you know, and we have this kind of feeling that it's, of course, terrible. And of course, they are going to their deaths. But in their belief system, this was a great honor because the children were going to live forever with the gods. In other words, they became like ambassadors from their communities, and they were invoked themselves. They were basically deified after the sacrifices took place. So it was, yeah, a considerable honor in which they not only were celebrated in the Inca capital, but they were also celebrated the entire pilgrimage, which must have taken, in some cases, several months just to reach these distant mountains.
So what do we know about the subjects of this most recent research, these mummified children from this mountain?
Well, initially, we were quite surprised to find anything at all because it's a completely snow-covered mountain traditionally. But an erupting volcano nearby meant that some of the snow had melted and the whole top ridge that had one of the burials had collapsed. And we found one of the mummies lying out on the surface, actually, inside the crater. The two mummies that were studied in this article were actually found somewhat lower down, probably because the summit wasn't easy to get to. They were found at about 18,000 feet, and they had been buried so that it wasn't quite the same as some of the ceremonies that we found on some of the higher peaks, where they actually built up. You couldn't dig into the summits, so they would like build walls and then fill them in. These were burials. One, in fact, we didn't even notice. It hadn't even been defined so clearly as being a burial, even on the surface.
And tell us more about what's been found here, that these children's bodies, the mummified bodies here, were found to have substances in them, whether it's cocaine or other substances. What was the role of that, do we know, in this ceremony?
Well, we knew that the children, both from some of the chronicles, the earlier written accounts of these ceremonies 500 years ago, described that they were given coca leaves to chew and chicha, this maize beer, to drink. So we knew that, or we expected to find that, and we did. But what we didn't expect to find was the main ingredient for the ayahuasca, this drink that's made from the vine that's only found in the rainforest of the Amazon. We're talking hundreds of miles from the Inca capital. Ayahuasca has become kind of famous really since around the 1700s when Spanish came across it. And it was being made with yet another plant to induce very strong hallucinogenic experiences. We couldn't find that other plants present, but it's pretty hard to find some of these anyway. But the main ingredient of the ayahuasca vine was present, and it's still being used in some cases as an antidepressant, for example, even in modern medicine.
Yeah. How common was it, the use of these kinds of substances, whether it's cocaine or ayahuasca, whatever it might be, in the Incan Empire? Did it play a role kind of similar to what we use antidepressants for in our society today?
Yeah, there's two things. We're talking about cocaine. We're not talking about the cocaine that's been, as it's been made, you know, for use in recent times. This is a very minuscule amount that would come out when they're chewing coca leaves. And it acts as a stimulant. In fact, lots of people are drinking coca tea when they arrive at high altitudes like at Cusco in Peru and so forth as a way to kind of better acclimatize. But the coca leaf was considered very sacred, and they were used in virtually all ceremonies. It wasn't just for these very special ceremonies, quite common for its use. And of course, the chicha also, the maize beer, was a common alcoholic beverage. So none of that was that unusual, but we'd never seen this kind of antidepressant use of a drug like ayahuasca. And in a way, it's kind of consoling to think that the children, we try to imagine them going up 20,000 feet. They'd never, you know, been to those heights before. They probably were suffering from them and certainly must have been quite anxious about what would happen. Therefore, it's kind of nice to find out or discover that they were being treated, at least in these cases.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, what the findings of these substances in these mummified bodies changes about what we know, not just about these rituals, but about how Incans used them and how they regarded and treated the children involved.
Well, we know that there had been other kinds of hallucinogenic psychotropic drugs that have been used, not because they're having been found within studies in the bodies as much as they'd been found, the substances had been found in some burials, for example, even before the Incas. But we didn't know ayahuasca, which came from such a distance, had been involved. And we weren't clear on just how it was being used. So the idea that the Incas were being very thoughtful in the way in which they were trying to carry out these ceremonies, they were getting special foods as they approached the mountain, continued up, and they were being especially treated the entire time, ever since they were chosen, because they were basically kind of in the process of become deities themselves to a degree. So the gist of it is that we see sort of the medicinal use of substances that would have taken quite a bit of difficulty to obtain and then use in these kinds of circumstances. So a lot of thought went into these rituals.
All right. Johann Reinhard, explorer emeritus for the National Geographic Society, joining us with this latest research. Johann, thank you so much for coming on and describing this for us. It's so interesting. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.